Hey, welcome back. This is Jared, your attitude coach. We said last week that we would have part two, and we've got part two of Tom Law on the attitude series. Quite exciting. So if you missed part one last week, by all means, download it, listen to it. But part two, equally as exciting. Tom's on here. And I think it's a really great opportunity to pick up some great information about this man, what he's been doing. You know, one of the things is in order to succeed, you obviously have to believe in who you are, what you do, who you represent, and who you serve. And Tom is a perfect example of that. So I really hope that you enjoyed part two of the Attitude Series with Tom Law. And at the end, put a like, put a comment, even any suggestions for future episodes. Love to hear from you. Thanks again. This is Jared, your Attitude Coach, and enjoy.
For example, my grandson, who I'm going to see in Bahrain in a week or so, is seven years of age, nearly eight. And when we went last time several years ago, I tried to get him into rock climbing to be a little bit more active. He didn't like it. He's a rock climbing champion now. And yesterday I spoke to him and he said, well, relatively speaking for his age, he said, Poppy, we need to go rock climbing when you get here. So in some way we have, or I have, or his parents have, or we have influenced him to want to be a little bit more active, which is great. You just have to be a little bit, use a little bit more imagination these days, I imagine, because the pull from the electronic area is very, very strong.
Yeah. And now is this the same little fella that I saw a picture of running with a rugby ball and like mid stride looking like, you know, like he's going for the touchdown. He's going for the, you know,
that's the same guy. And yeah. And the ball is a very large looking ball, isn't it? Certainly wasn't a cut down ball.
Mate, that was a fantastic shot.
It was a good shot.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw that.
I'm sure at some stage with permission of everybody else, we'll have to put that shot on there.
Yeah. No,
so people can see it.
That'd be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But, you know, in saying some of that stuff about fitness, incidental fitness, I was going to ask you what generally happens, and this is something that's happened to me over the years. I've been part of running clubs. I've been part of triathlon clubs, trail clubs. I've done a lot of things. And whenever I've come across people that say, oh, man, I'd love to do what you're doing, but what I want to do first, because you guys seem like you're pretty really, you're great at what you do or you're at a certain level, I'm just going to take off for a couple weeks. I'm going to do some training on my own. I'm going to get fit, and then I'll come and join your club.
Yeah. We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot. Now, the secret to that is, of course, I understand people doing that, and I've had one or two people, you may relate to this as well, that said, I don't want to join because I would be a little bit embarrassed at the moment because I really am better than I look at the moment and I'm fitter. I just don't want to be beaten by a female or be beaten by a younger bloke or be beaten by an older fella. And I understand that, and that's a competitive thing.
Yeah.
I understand that. But what we try and instill in everyone is that we all start somewhere. And a lady, for example, this morning was exercising with me, and one of the circuits that we did, one of the activities on the circuit was skipping. And 2 weeks ago, she couldn't skip, just could not skip. Well, we persevered as long as I possibly could, given the exercise environment. I couldn't concentrate on her wholly and solely. But she went away for a week, and I gave her a skipping rope and a medicine ball. I said, now go on holidays, enjoy yourself, but come back having learned to skip. And she did. She skipped this morning. And I spoke to her, and one of the concerns she had was that she was coming last, and I always looked unfit. This particular lady has been an athlete, so it won't take her long to get back into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I said to her, we all start somewhere. You've got to get rid of that. You have to really and truly get rid of that because the environment and the teamwork in that group setting will pull you along. And it's much better to get into a... If I want to play golf, I want to play with Jack Nicklaus because he will improve my game. I don't want to play with Billy Bob, who can't play. I want to play with someone that knows what they're doing because I'll get dragged along and learn from them. And that's what you have to try and instill in these people. Come now and learn from us. We've all started there.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of it, too, is just being self-conscious. People need to drop the ego. They just need to get involved with it. You know, a few months back, I was in the States, and one of the first things I wanted to do, because I've never been great at a gym, I've never been great at weights, I've never been great at wanting to go to a gym. So I joined a CrossFit, and I joined it knowing that I have no gymnastics background. I have no functional type movement background with the weights or what they do in CrossFit.
And I was getting smashed up every single time I walk in there. I'd be coming dead last in their Metcons and their AMRAPs and their, and I would have the lowest amount of weights. The women were out throwing weights around me. You know, the only thing I could do was I could outrun people.
Yes.
And you know, but I wasn't there to learn how to run. I was there to learn how to do something new at 46 years of age. And that's, you know, and that's what people need to do. They just need to be willing to accept it.
And
right.
That's great. And I think that you should do that. I think that you need to get different experiences and doing different things with different exercise groups. And I've tried as much as I can to do that myself so that you can speak with some authority about it.
Yeah.
But I think that's terrific. That's really beneficial to you. And you can speak now with a degree of authority about CrossFit. And they all have their benefits. They all have their drawbacks. They all have their issues. And it's nice to work in a group knowing that we all operate the same. We'll have problems. We'll get injured. We'll overdo it.
It's interesting, too, because all these CrossFit gyms, they all have a WOD, a workout of the day.
Yes.
And one of the things I noticed is that they show the workout the day before, and sometimes they don't show it until late at night, because the minute somebody sees it, if they don't like it or they don't want to do it, they don't show up. And yes. So you got a whole different clientele. I'm actually personally looking for the – I'm looking for the – if it says running, I said, yeah, well, it's no big deal. But I'm looking for every day it looks like a workout I can't do anyway. So I've got to force myself to say, Jared, just show up, go get your ass kicked, you know, and do it. And that's just a mindset,
too. It is a mindset.
You work with people on that stuff.
Yes, well, for years, and I'm starting to do a little bit of it now because we change how we operate and adapt to the crowd and the group that you're working with. But for years, I wouldn't tell anyone what we were doing. There was two reasons for that, really. The first was you didn't want to discourage them from turning up.
Yeah.
Because often when they turn up, they go, what are we doing? 2K run, time trial. Oh, no. Had you told them the night before, consciously or subconsciously, some just don't turn up. Some develop illnesses. Some just won't turn up because it's happening. Some people would turn up, and once you told them the program, would be physically sick. And yeah. I have seen that. They'd be physically sick, but they were there. And so they would seldom go home. In fact, never seen anyone go home. Now, I still use the same principle, but occasionally I will tell them and warn them for 3 or 4 weeks ahead. For example, on Saturday, we have our last session of the year, and we do a thing called 500, where there's five disciplines. Each one you can accumulate 100 points for. And so far in my group, we've only got one person that's got the 500.
Wow.
If you don't reach those standards, you drop points. So I've given them some warning. 3 weeks ago, we did a little rehearsal. So they are prepared for it. So those that don't turn up, I'm accepting the hit that they won't turn up because of that. But the benefits to those that will turn up is enormous.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing. So, but... you know, looking into the future with your training and everything that you've got going on, is there, and we're going to talk about it here in a second because I'm interested to hear some about the book. You know, you got this book that's come out, is how to succeed as a personal trainer. Some of the hot tips, and I know that there's all kinds of technology out there, but I'm really fascinated to hear your take on a lot of this information. What are you doing today a little differently for your groups, your personal training groups and things that you feel are making a real impact on individuals?
That's a very good question because I have changed. Obviously, you get older and your views change slightly. So when you were exercising with me, we always exercise 100 miles an hour. I now have a lady who's 80 who's been exercising with me for some time, and in fact, her daughter and her granddaughter and her grandchild have exercised with me.
Wow.
In fact, I ran into a lady this morning who served me coffee, who said, and I said, you look familiar. She said, well, I should do because you trained me as one of the little kids in the Kids Tough program at Spectrum. So the lady this morning, and she's now in her 20s. So you do change the way that you train. And I'm jumping off subject here, but one of the things that I notice with personal trainers is that often they only have one speed. And it doesn't matter what age you are, if we refer back to your previous question, it doesn't matter your capability. They all get smashed.
Yeah.
And that's every session. And whilst there is a place for that occasionally, it's not every session. And you can quickly discourage people. And not only that, you can harm them, you can do damage, but discouraging people is not good for your business.
No.
So you have to be a little bit more circumspect, have to be a little bit more thoughtful about the exercise. And one of the things that I would say, which I believe is beneficial if you exercise with me, is I will exercise you to your capacity based on my understanding of what you're capable of. So if you're 80 years of age, I know what you can do. if you're 46 years of age and a trail runner and a very fit man, I know that I need to give you more. And often people in our group will, and they'll say to me, oh, you're picking on him. You seem to be picking on him. No, I'm giving them additional training because they need it. Because they would not come back to me if I kept them on the same program that I was going to do with a 60 or 70 year old. So
what, it's amazing I was just sitting here thinking about the lip service that you get back from people in your boot camp training style.
Yes, yes.
Is that back and forth, yes, argy-bargy that can happen sometimes. Yes. Yeah.
And if you give it, you have to be able to take a bit, yeah, of it. And I do. But that would be the major change, is that I've adapted to some extent because I'm older, and because a lot of my clientele are older. We still cater for the youngsters,
yep,
but they've grown with me. So I'm a little bit more circumspect. I think a little bit more about the activities that they can and they can't do. And I work in closely, as most PTs do, with those in the allied health and their physios, their doctors, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, as a society right now, where do you think some of the greatest threats, what are you seeing, some of the greatest threats that we have in terms of what's happening with the health, health side of things?
I did mention earlier, but I think that we've lost a lot. We have really and truly lost a lot because modern society and the inventions of the modern world are killing us. I mean, we don't have to get up now to turn the TV off.
Yeah.
We don't have to move. It more and more, the labour-saving devices we have are making us more, are encouraging us to be less active. I was speaking to a gentleman the other day who works at the council and he empties the bins. And I said to him, 15, 20, 25 years ago, your job would have been to run into the yards, pick up the bin, run to the truck, throw it on the back. In fact, don't you know that boxers and footballers look for jobs like that because it complemented their training? The milkman, the man that delivered the bread. But more and more now we see, and I don't think it's unfair to say, large people sitting behind machinery, operate machinery that previously people did. So
sedentary,
sedentary. And that to me is something that is really, I see it on a daily basis, and to me, it's just disappointing. It's really disappointing that people choose to do that on the basis of, I have so much to do in my day.
Different generations, right? It's just, it's insane. When I read somewhere about, you know, your childhood and in terms of being in WA and the people riding around on bikes because maybe lack of vehicles, it was just, that was just what they did. I've got my father-in-law who's Dutch, and he's been riding bikes ever since he was a kid. He's actually the Australian Nationals Masters champion for 70 to 75.
Wow.
So 70 to 75, he is the Australian champion, and he came 13th in the world. A couple months ago, we went over to Italy to go watch him race.
Wow.
Which is where it was in Varese, Italy. Anyway, super proud of that guy.
Road course or velodrome?
Yeah, it was a road. It was the Grand Fondo. So that was a phenomenal opportunity.
But cultural.
Yeah.
Cultural.
Yeah, the cultural. Yeah, I mean, and when he first came over, and this is a story I hear from Nicole, but when he first came over to Australia, him and his wife rode bikes, and they were in the western suburbs of Sydney, you know.
Yes.
They rode bikes but realized there's too many hills and too many of this, and, you know, we can't do this. It's not like, you know, being back in the Netherlands. And you said a baker or a bread delivery guy.
Yes.
You know, his name is John, but my stepfather-in-law, he rides bikes, and he was, you know, western suburbs of Sydney, and he's, you know, rides all over the place. And, but once again, different generation. These guys are just moving. They're active. They're in the 70s, but they still have a level of fitness which can smash out most young 20-year-olds.
And they wouldn't know what it was like to be unfit. And a lot of those people, JD, a lot of those people weren't doing it for exercise. It was transport.
Yeah.
It was simply to get from A to B. And we've lost a lot of that. And we continue to lose a lot of it. And we continue to encourage people not to exercise because of that. And that to me is just absolutely terrible. I mean, we are now going to have people live longer, apparently. Medical profession has gone ahead in leaps and bounds. But we're going to have 100-year-old fat people or people that are unhealthy. Because we will make them live longer. But it's the quality of life. And and people say to me, what would happen to you if you were running one day and you dropped dead? I said, well, that's the way to go. Because I would much rather be healthy for as long as I possibly could than deteriorate for the next 20 or 30 years of my life.
You just gave the vision of, you know, like one of my happiest thoughts that I have when I'm out running trails and I know I'm 5, 10, 15, 20 kilometers deep into a forest or a single track and I've got nothing but Mother Nature around me. if I had a heart attack at that moment, I'd say to myself, I had a perfect life.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. And because I don't want to spend 20, 30 years like going through surgeries and crap and medications. And,
no.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, we can't say all of it. No one can say all of it, but a lot of it is so preventable.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we've got a whole generation or a couple generations of these personal trainers
yes.
that are coming through the pipeline
yes.
and maybe becoming disillusioned.
Yeah.
But in terms of not having them become disillusioned, Tom Law has come to the rescue and he's brought
yes.
he's brought a book, How to Succeed as a Personal Trainer. And we're going to put some information about this up on the podcast as well. But I'd like to get into a little bit of information.
Sure.
Why did you put this out?
That's a good question too. But the real truth of the matter is, and this is going to sound, as I say in the book, like a Miss World answer, is that I am concerned that we are not training our young people and have not had the training that I've had. And I think that's a shame. And I'm not saying that I'm the world's best. It's like the fastest gun shooter. There's always someone better. There's
yep.
always someone you can learn from. The minute you let go of ego, as you said earlier, we can all take in so much information. But what does concern me is that from a training point of view, as indeed many things in this world, it's a race to the bottom. How quickly can we train these people? The quality goes out the window and the brevity and the money comes in. I'll give you a course for $600, 6 weeks, you're qualified. And you see that right across the board. I don't think that's an unfair statement.
No.
So the quality of training may not be there. So consequently, this is a fairly quick way to get yourself a qualification. It's seen as a romantic occupation. There's people bringing books out like how you can make six figures by working 1 hour a day. And I really have yet to achieve that. But it's seen by a lot of young people as quite a romantic occupation. And people go, yes, I'll have a shot at that. I haven't got a great OP. I'm not entirely dull. I'll have a shot at that. I think I'll be good at that. I'm reasonably fit. I'm very sporty. And very quickly, in many instances, become disillusioned because of the industry. Gymnasiums have to make a living, and they have a system where you need to pay to work in a gymnasium. So you consequently, you have to learn your trade very, very quickly. And by doing learning your trade very quickly, you then get some income. Some of that goes to the gym owner. Some of it you keep. But because people have that transitional period where they do not want to do anything without money, they need the instant fix. I need that money straight away. So consequently, you don't have people staying around long-term in gyms and building a rapport and a clientele. If they go out, they're up against crusty old PTs like myself. Someone sees a young PT down the beach and they go, and there's that old fellow over there. He must be in industry 45 years. I'll go with him. Exacerbated by the situation that youngsters charging more.
Right.
So there's a number of factors that work against the young and the not so young PT coming into the industry. Seldom can you come in and work full time straight away. There's just not the money there, no matter what people tell you.
Yeah, and you know, when we think about with social media today and young people coming in and doing this, with the lack of experience that they have, if they don't have the same 45 years experience, they don't have a military background, they don't have a consulting coaching, they don't have anything like that, but yet they want to do that, what is the best piece of advice you could give them if they really want to be passionate and kick out into this?
This is controversial because not many people will do it, but I would say give yourself 3 months, no pay. Attach yourself to somebody and offer your service to someone and learn from that person. Find out who's the best person in your area and say, I want to work for you. I'll do work experience, 3 months, no pay. Can I please learn? Get up at 4 a.m, go to bed at midnight, but learn everything you can and get everything you possibly can from that person. In other words, forget the money initially
yeah.
and try and get some experience. Learn from someone else. Attach yourself to someone. Even if you do get a couple of dollars, that's fine. But be prepared to not earn immediately. The problem with one of the problems with society these days is that you grew up in an area where you had to learn to earn.
Yeah.
I grew up where you had to learn to earn. So my money as an apprentice, I recall my first wage was $12. $5 of that went to fixing or paying for my toolbox that the company supplied for quite some time. So the money wasn't good. But I could go with a tradesman because I wasn't getting paid a lot of money and I could learn from him. Yes, I learned how to sweep floors. Yes, I learned how to tidy up, how to wash my hands, how to be polite to people, how to use my manners. But I also learned my trade. Youngsters these days want to hit the ground running. As you mentioned earlier,
yeah.
it's instant society.
Yeah.
I want my $2,000 a week. It's just not possible. And consequently, because it doesn't work initially, because it takes them some time to build a client base, they get disillusioned and head off somewhere else and find some other easy employment.
And they don't understand the whole idea of bootstrapping their business.
They don't understand. You would understand because you've been in business. You understand that you need to give to get. Yeah. That it is not possible to start earning immediately. You have to pay your dues, as we say.
Yeah.
There has to be some means by which you learn and you gain experience. A young person said to me, oh, I'm not getting money for value. And I said, what do you mean by that? They said, well, I value my experience and what I have. And I said, it doesn't matter how much you value it. It's how much the client values it.
That's right.
Because they're the people that pay you. So you might think you're worth $25 an hour, but they might think you're only worth 10. You're not going to get 25. You have to get to a stage in life where the value from your client's point of view is recognized.
Yeah, very true. And you know what? It's going to spit a lot of people out too. You know, they become disillusioned and spit them out because, you know, there's so many courses online that people take or, you know, just to be able to get that quick qualification.
Yes.
You know, so the book itself, which is fantastic, all right, Handling Clients, and that all comes back to, once again, all different types of clients. And you said it earlier, just for the sake of it, just go through those different types of clients that you feel are out there in terms of people like me or somebody just trying to dive into fitness for the first time. What are some of these clients that you come across yourself?
Okay, so I have them in three categories. It's my categories, and it's my opinion.
Hey, well, you are the expert, right? We got
the self-appointed. So there is people that like to go to gyms and will not move from the gymnasium. So yep. They are comfortable, they're content, they're happy in the gym. Be they good exercises or not, they love the gym. So that is their home. They would not go outside. They do not want to do boot camps. That brings me to the second person, the boot camper, myself. I prefer, although I managed a gym for five or six years, I really am an outdoor type of person. I like to get out and climb and monkey bars and do all the ninja stuff. And you're much the same, I understand.
Yep.
The trail runs, the extreme activities. So there's the gym person, there's the boot camp, if you like, or the outdoors, and there's the person that's the reluctant exerciser that doesn't want to pay for anything. And they're the people that I try and work on to some extent, because the boot campers come to me naturally, the people in the gym won't come anyway, and the other people are reluctant exercisers or reluctant payers. So in my business, I have to convert them to get them to come to understand the value of paying. And sometimes you need to throw out some things, as I mentioned, like a freebie. Those people aren't impressed by price. A free session every now and then, give them a little bit so that they feel that they're getting great value for money. So that's the three categories that I see. Now, each one of them has to be pushed. The person in the gym, because quite often you see people in the gym and all they seem to be doing is working on their mobile phone. The outdoor boot camper needs to be pushed as well to improve, and so too does the reluctant person that doesn't necessarily want to exercise or pay for exercise. So in the last few years, I've been working on those people. So there's a lot of people out there that would exercise if it was affordable.
Yep. And they need to. We need to have people out there exercising. I mean, that's what we're built, human beings, right? We're built for literally movement, moving every day, you know, from quad pedals to bipedals to, I studied anthropology, so I'm sitting here thinking about how we moved along in this space-time continuum.
Yes.
And we will continue as well. So that's fantastic. Now, in terms of what I was going to do, where are we at with time right now? What are we hit up to? Yeah, we are just smashing it out here, Tom. what I would like to do before we wrap up is I want to be able to, for people that are listening to this, I want people to know how they can get a hold of you, how they can get in contact with you, whether it's through your website, whether it's LinkedIn. And also about the book, how do we get our hands on this book?
Right.
If you could share that as well.
Well, this is available from Amazon, Smashwords, CreateSpace.
Yep.
So all the electronic versions, and you need to look up Tom's Law, how to succeed as a personal trainer. So they're available. I can give you a copy as well. I've got copies at home, but generally speaking, people buy it electronically. It's around $25, whatever that equates to, wherever you are. So that book is a good book, particularly at Christmas time. Really, really good for young people that are just qualified, or indeed for older people. I've had quite a few people who are in the industry that said there's some gems in there, and some of it's military.
Yep.
For example, this would impress you. I use an acronym called RSVP in regards to how you speak: rhythm, speed, volume, and pitch.
Love
so it. If you use RSVP and you don't have the annoying high screeching voice, You give enough pause for people to understand what's going on. So it's part of communication as well.
That's great.
So an RSVP. So that's the sort of, there's little gems in there
you
like that.
You picked that up in the signals, right?
I did pick that up in signals. So there's little gems like that. Also in regards to communication skills and how you receive communication skills won't be the same as me. How you perceive that and how you have to cater for that. Early in the day, I'd say 70% got it, then that's fine. But you have to make sure, particularly for retention and a business point of view, that people understand and don't think they're dull because they haven't got what you've put across. It's my issue, communication, not theirs. So there's those sorts of things. It's a good book, and it's a matter of fact. It's a lot of people, one of the best compliments I had is people could read it and say, I can hear you speaking. So they actually hear me through the book, which is really good. So the other thing, people can contact me through Facebook, Tom's Law. So it's T-O-M apostrophe S Law. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a web page. And if they're distant, then I'm quite happy to give them some advice. But the other piece of advice I'd really give to people is to do some research. Spend 10, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour a day doing some research, and you can find programs locally. Gyms will give you a free trial.
Yes.
Councils have free programs. There is free equipment around your area. There's often a park. There is parkrun, which is free. There is so many opportunities in Australia for people to get exercise. The only excuse they can have, in my opinion, is they're lazy. Because if you don't have your health, you have nothing. So think about your health. Spend some time thinking about it and do a plan. Have a plan and make it part of your everyday routine, like brushing your teeth.
That's fantastic. I love it. You know, I know there's lots of information that people are going to get. We'll put all this stuff up on the podcast. We'll put the notes on how to get a hold of Tom, how to get this information and get this book as well. Tom Law, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in here, and it's been fantastic to catch up with you.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it too.
Thank you. Dang.